This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Label Sternbach and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. Joining us is Dr. Michael Osterholm on New Beginnings. There are questions about immunity and whether or not we should be keeping kids out of school with COVID-19 5 days or 10 days. And some are even suggesting, Dr. Osterholm, that you've given up the fight against COVID-19. What do you say?
Well, thank you for that comment. I appreciate it. And for others who sent similar messages to us, please know I have never given up on the case of COVID-19, ever. But let's look at this from the standpoint of what can be done versus what we would like to be done. I have heard what you're saying here, and I anticipated that there may be some who would respond in a similar manner. Let me try to lay out with you where I see the challenges from a public health standpoint. Just as we talk about measles vaccination, we concentrate heavily our activities in those younger age groups, those who are in daycare, those who are in the earliest days of school. And, you know, notice I'm not talking about measles as it relates to those who are adults or particularly older adults, because in fact, as it's been said before by Willie Sutton and others, why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is. The problem we have with measles right now is in our youngest children. We have to focus on that. That's where we'll have the most impact. When one looks at COVID, there are some real similarities. I would like to stop all transmission of COVID throughout the community. Well, it's not going to happen because people just are not amenable to vaccination or, for that matter, any major inconvenience in their lives right now related to COVID. That's just reality. And we have to face that. So in this case, I continue to emphasize strongly the protection of those who are over age 65, those who are individuals who have an increased risk for serious illness hospitalizations, as I just talked about with Paxlovid. And I will continue to do everything I can to help protect these people. Now, having said that, I understand even there we're challenged. Look at the levels of vaccination I just talked about. You know, we're not even at 50% for those 65 years of age and older with this vaccine dose. I will not stop trying to promote that. I will not stop trying to promote early diagnosis. Testing is critical, and getting people on Paxlovid. But I also realize today that, in fact, for many parents, they will not test their children for possible COVID, and they don't want to know because their child may be held out for 5 days or more from school, even if they fully recover within a day or two. And so we're not really benefiting the public's health by not understanding that and saying, so what can we do about that? How are we going to get that to actually change? And I think the challenge we have is we're not going to. The public has moved on. So I am trying to find a way to protect the most number of people and have the credibility of what the California recommendations bring us. Remember, this is not new. In Omicron, we actually changed our recommendations. The number of days following onset of infection with that highly infectious Omicron variant from 10 days to 5 days, even though the data from lab studies show that there were a number of people who remained infectious after 5 days. Well, why do we change that? Well, because we were in the middle of that Omicron wave that meant we had thousands and thousands and thousands of healthcare workers out ill. We had pharmacies that couldn't open because pharmacists were all ill, on and on. And so what happened? We said, okay, at 5 days, you can go back to work. If, in fact, you wear an N95 respirator. What happened? Well, fortunately, we had healthcare workers who stepped up to the plate, who went back to work, even though they were infected with COVID, because they were taking care of patients who were dying from COVID and otherwise would have been literally left alone. And so that was an accommodation that was not based on science. It was based on the practicality of what was happening at the time. So what happened next? Well, that particular recommendation in a sense, just got gutted even more because everyone said, oh, it's only 5 days now. We don't have to worry. They missed the part about talking about needing to be using a respirator for the other 5 days. And then it became the norm, five days, that was it. The science didn't support that. Yes, that reduced most of the transmission, but not all of it. Well, now we're talking about, do we keep kids out of school who are sick or not sick? And frankly, I would rather have a recommendation where a child who is symptomatic is kept at home, even though we know the fact is that they still may be infectious at some degree going back in after they're well for at least a few days. But the brunt of the transmission is likely to occur in that ill child. So what we're trying to do is find some place where we can get people to agree that we'll do this. For a parent who doesn't have the ability to take time off covered by pay for caring for a child at home who is not sick is one that's a non-starter. So we have to recognize that. So I hope that people understand this is talking about being practical. This is not talking about what the rest science is, because if that's the case, we screwed that up a long time ago, okay? What we're really trying to get at here is what can we do to have the most impact on transmission? I will continue to emphasize the need for testing of individuals who might be in gatherings where there are at-risk people for serious illness. Make sure that everyone's tested beforehand for a family event. Continue to do that. For those who are at increased risk, they can wear their N95 to protect themselves from those who might be infected, even those who unknowingly are infected and transmitting the virus. So I think this is not an easy one. And I understand if people are uncomfortable with recommendations that don't follow the science. I get that. And I have the one saying all along how important this disease remains. Seventh leading cause of death in our country last week. This is a real challenge. But it doesn't help us to ignore what the public is doing. And we can surely point out that this is not in keeping with the best science. But if it doesn't matter if the public won't follow it. And so I think what California and Oregon has tried to do is find the way to eliminate the most of the transmission they can, given the reality of what people will do. And anyone who thinks today we're going to see people masking in public places again, it's not going to happen. I've been in many locations recently of gatherings, including several involving public health department activities. No one had an N95 on. And I think that that's the challenge we're up against today. And that doesn't mean that we've given up. It doesn't mean that we don't care. It's facing the reality of where we're at. And I feel the same way with measles vaccine. I won't give up. Even though parents may be adamantly against vaccinating their kids, I'm going to do everything I can to continue in that population to push whatever efforts we can to increase measles vaccination and hopefully not have them develop immunity because of their infection, including some kids who will die.
Powerful statements coming from Dr. Michael Osterholm this week on New Beginnings. What a straightforward message for those who are concerned about the vaccine for COVID-19 and even measles as well. You're listening to New Beginnings, and I'm Freddie Bell, and our program continues right now. Hey there, I'm glad you're with us this weekend on New Beginnings, and now it's time for information from the lighter side of my desk. Can you guess? According to a new poll, a third of people believe their best ideas come while they're in bed. Just 10% think that their best ideas happen at work. Here are four things that you probably didn't know yesterday. Number one, Kool-Aid was first marketed as Fruit Smack. Number two, the United States in World War II created a bomb that used bats that would carry small incendiary charges. Number three, Norway has the world's longest road tunnel, which stretches an astonishing 15 miles. And number four, when you get a kidney transplant, they usually leave your original kidneys in your body and place the third kidney in your pelvis. Four things that you probably didn't know. It's wacky, but it's true. Two women got caught robbing a store in Poland because they were too polite. When they told the clerk what they were there for, she told them she was busy with a customer, so the crooks offered to wait. Then the clerk went into the back and tripped an alarm. The Bachelor franchise is expanding again following the success of last fall's Golden Bachelor, which led to Gary Turner and Teresa Nist tying the knot on local TV. ABC has revealed plans for the Golden Bachelorette. The news was announced during the Television Critics Association's winter press tour on Friday. A lead for the show has not yet been revealed, but many viewers would like to see some contestants from Turner's season to get another shot at finding love. The show will debut this fall. And if you're a couple named Travis and Taylor, you may have struck it lucky. The Chapel of Flowers in Las Vegas was giving free weddings to couples named Taylor and Travis. The wedding chapel made the announcement as Taylor Swift's boyfriend Travis Kelce and his team, the Kansas City Chiefs, took on the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. The chapel is by the Strat Hotel, Casino, and Tower. And finally, five manatees are back home in Florida waters after years of rehabilitation. Squirrel, Mary-Kate, Lizzie, Clank, and Tink-Tink were all rescued between 2020 and 2021. They have been rehabilitated with the help of numerous organizations and now all weigh between 700 and 1,000 pounds. The manatees were recently released into the wild at a state park in Florida. Their release was an all-day event and have been fitted with GPS tracking devices. On the lighter side of my desk this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Treasury and CD rates have started falling, and now is the time to lock in those high-yield returns. Join us this week as we talk about where to find bank CDs that are offering 10% or more annualized returns. Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Label Sternbach. Label is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Label, welcome back to New Beginnings.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. I'm excited. Before we begin, can you explain to us where to find bank CDs that are offering 10%? That seems really interesting. And can you give us a brief refresher on what a bank CD is and if they're really safe?
Yeah, let's take it from the top. So bank CDs, what are bank CDs? So bank CDs, you know, they used to be the staple of everyone's retirement plan. In fact, I knew people who were, and my first retirement plan when I was planning on it was like, I'm just going to go get bank CDs that are paying 5% and I will be good, right? And then we had 20 years of basically 0% interest rate and that went away. And you had to go elsewhere to get returns. But bank CDs, for those who are, you know, finally starting to get marketed for them, is a certificate of deposit. It is essentially you give money to the bank, and in exchange for letting the bank hold on to it for a period of time, they will give you a guaranteed interest rate over that period. That is what it is. One of the important features of it is that you always get your principal back at the end, right? Plus some interest. You get, you know, FDIC insurance. So it's like a bank account, right? Up to $250,000 is protected by FDIC insurance, which makes it really appealing in that way because your principal is always guaranteed. The interest rate is guaranteed as long as the bank is going to still be in business. And the, you know, in theory, if you wanted to surrender it early, you could. You're just giving up, you know, a certain amount of interest if you give it up, which unlike, you know, unlike insurance products that may sound the same, where if you give up an insurance product earlier, you have surrender fees, you have market adjustments, things like that, which, you know, so while they may pay, you know, slightly better rates, there's a lot more on the back end. So having said that, that's what a bank CD is. The cool thing is that not all bank CDs have to be tied to the interest rate, doesn't have to be a fixed amount. Just like annuities don't have, you know, there's more than just having fixed interest rate annuities. You have market index annuities. You can have the same thing for CDs. So you can have a CD that the interest rate that it pays is tied to other things other than, you know, a fixed rate. So for instance, you can have something that's tied to the stock market and it'll say you get to, you know, if the stock market goes up by 10%, you're going to get, you know, 50% of the return. Or it can say, you know, more often than not, it'll be something like if the market goes up, you get up to 10%, you know, return. So the market goes more than 10%, you're capped at the 10%. If it gets less than 10%, you get less than that. But you'll always get your principal back. And so those are, you know, those are really cool. You also have things that, you know, operate on more of an interesting, you know, esoteric level where you have, you know, something called dual direction. So whether the market goes up or down, you'll get a positive return. So the market goes up 10%, you get 10%. If the market goes down 10%, you still get a 10% return, right? And, you know, all kinds of flavors and variations and all kinds of cool things that can be done with these CDs. All kinds of time horizons, right? Anywhere from 13 months and on, or even 12 months. So you can really kind of dial in what exactly it is that you want and have that same kind of protection of, well, I know I'm going to get my principal back. And even if the bank fails, I have FDIC insurance to protect me up to $250,000, which as a investment, that's kind of technically even better than an insurance product, an annuity, where you're just guaranteed that, you know, okay, the annuity company is, you know, hopefully solvent. But if they aren't, right, who knows how much money you're going to get on your dollar.
So with that that type of, it's really interesting, but are they hard to find? I'm thinking 10%, that's a lot. Is there any bank that's paying that right now?
Yeah, so 10% was, you know, actually this morning, right? There's a bank paying that. They're capping the return at 10%. I got for my clients ones that were paying 20%.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Now, again, it's not guaranteed, right? The rate is not guaranteed. It's if the market goes up, you get up to 20%, right? Or up to 10%. And, you know, it's kind of flavor of the week, right? Every week they come out with something different based on what the market is doing. And again, because these are market stuff, if you've got enough money, you go to the bank and you can negotiate with them or multiple banks and negotiate with them and get the best deal possible. There's a lot of flexibility. What I will tell you is this is not something that you can walk into your local, you know, credit union, your local bank branch and ask them for. It is something that you have to go through either a broker dealer or through a registered investment advisor. And even if you go to your advisor and say, hey, I want one of these things, there's no guarantee that they have access to it or that they, you know, have access to a broad marketplace of those to be able to go find those things, right? Or that they understand what they're looking at. So you want to make sure that you're dealing with somebody who knows the ins and outs, because these are, you know, products that can be structured any which way. And they're really cool and they're really great if they're used the right way. But if not, right, you can easily lose your money. Just like with annuities, right? You'll get your principal back, but that doesn't mean that you won't end up with no money at the end of the road, right? You'll just have your principal, but you'll have missed out on all the market's growth for 5 years, 10 years, or whatever.
So with a lot of different instruments, you always have a cautionary tale that goes along with them. And I'll call it that rather than a catch. So is there a cautionary tale with certificates of deposit?
So with certificate of deposits, is you got to, with these market link stuff, the cautionary tale is really understand what you're getting into. The interest rate isn't fixed. And the more that there's variability in terms of what it is, how it pays out and what the conditions are, the greater the potential upside. What you also have is, and I see this in the insurance world also, they've been really pushing these like hybrid indexes where it used to be like, okay, you got, you know, it was 1 year point to point of the S&P 500, right? And that was simple and easy to understand. It was, you had a cap, a participation rate, a floor, and, you know, you knew, okay, market goes up 10%, I get, you know, 5% of it, right? It was simple to understand. But as the insurance companies need to make more money, they started tweaking that and they started introducing these other indexes. And they'll show you these back-tested results to show like, oh, you're going to make a crazy amount of money. But the thing is that there's no guarantee that that's what the future is going to look like. And when I've been seeing a lot of these indexes don't really perform well moving forward. And so they're constantly coming out with new ones. The companies that are creating these indexes know that. They know that these are going to underperform the broader market. So that's why they're offering it. And they're really offering it because they know that the vast majority of advisors, the vast majority of consumers don't understand what these products are, what these indexes are. And they're going to just see, oh, I get 200% participation rate. That's like if the market goes up, I get twice that amount. And you just see that and you get blinded by the greed that you miss the fact that the market, they've defined the market as being some, you know, imaginary monopoly thing that doesn't really exist and doesn't really work. And very few people have the sophistication or the knowledge and experience to know that the thing that they're building has been proven, you know, to not work. You know, and so it's like, okay, well, you're getting 200% participation of something that's not going to make more than, you know, 2 or 3% over the next few years. Why would you do that? Right. It doesn't make sense. So that's the cautionary tale. What I will say is you will get your principal back, right? So as long as you don't, you know, commit yourself to an insane period of time, which I for me, it's kind of like, you know, 2 or 3 years is the max on those things. Because mm-hmm. you really don't know what the world's going to be like in 3 years, right? That's a very far period to be betting on. But I do know kind of, I'm going to have a good idea of what the world's going to look like in the next 2 years, at least when it comes to interest rates, when it comes to, you know, stock returns. I know what that potential is. I know what that potential universe is. The market can always prove us wrong, but that's a bet that I'm willing to take. To say where the market's going to be in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that's an insane bet.
Interesting. So with the nuanced piece of the certificate of deposit, so why would you go that way when that annuity product is out there for everybody right now?
So the problem with the annuity product is that there are too many levers that they can control that you don't get to see what it's going to be, right? So they can change from year to year what your participation rate is, what the caps are. All of the levers that they have, they can change that from year to year. So you buy contract A, but in year two, that turns into something else entirely, right? And if you had been presented with what it now is in year two, you know, up front, you never would have purchased it. But that they didn't present it to you, right? They didn't give it to you. They wrote it in black and white that this is a potential to happen. But nobody understands it well enough to be able to decipher that. And nobody, it also requires a certain, you know, amount of anticipation. And I mean, I'll be honest, like I understand it. And I, even looking at the contracts, can't anticipate what I've actually seen happen, right? It's they have too many levers that they can control. So what I tell people when it comes to annuities, look at the guaranteed values. If the guaranteed value isn't something that you would purchase, then don't buy it, because you don't know. Everything else is monopoly money and you don't know that you're going to get it, right? They have too many levers to control that you may not get the hypothetical illustration, but you will get the guaranteed number. So, you know, if the guaranteed number solves your problem and it gives you the liquidity that you want, then it's a great product, right? All for it, 100%. There are things that you can get with annuities that you can't get anywhere else. But if you need some of that hypothetical growth, then, you know, you really got to take a good hard look of, well, am I really going to get that hypothetical growth? Because I can virtually guarantee you that you're not going to get it.
Interesting. So you've got the CD, you've got the annuity. Are there other similar investments out there?
Yeah, there definitely is. So just like you got different flavors of annuities, you got different flavors of these types of investments that offer exposure to the market with some level of protection, right? So you have something called structured products or principal protected notes. So a principal protected note is like the cousin of a market CD. It has all the same features of a market link CD. Principal is protected, right? You're guaranteed to get your money back as long as the bank is solvent. You're going to get return. You're going to get upside tied to some kind of index, right? So it's got all those same features you want. The one thing you're giving up, though, is FDIC insurance, right? So if the bank goes under, then you just become, it gets converted into common stock of the bank, and you stand in line with every other, you know, creditor. You actually stand behind the line because creditors come first. So you're giving up that protection, right? So, which is fine if you're going with like JP Morgan. The chance of JP Morgan going under in the next few years is very small. But at the same token, if you go with some small bank that'll offer amazing rates, there's a chance that they might go under. It's a non-zero chance, right? It's not zero. Whereas, you know, JP Morgan's a lot closer to zero. So that's something to consider, right? But again, as part of a diversified portfolio with a diversified set of banks and diversified set of instruments, they can give you what you want, right? It can really give you the upside and the downside protection that you're looking for. And there's a whole variety of products. I mean, literally, you could go out there and you can say, I want this. I want A, B, and C, right? And we can send that out to all the different investment banks out there. And they will come back with quotes and they'll tell you, well, we'll give you A that looks like this, and we'll give you B that, you know, up till this, and this is what it's going to cost. Right. And you can create the ride and experience that you want with the risk that you're willing to take without taking on the surrender charges, the hidden costs, the hidden terms that you find with annuities. But I will also say there's another product from annuity companies that is a recent product. And it's something that is very different from firm to firm, so from carrier to carrier. So you got to be careful. And you got to really understand the terms. But there's something called a registered index linked annuity, right? A RILA. And these things are designed to kind of compete. They're somewhere between these principal protected notes and these market linked CDs. They're designed to compete somewhere in the middle over there. And those are, those can be very appealing and fit into the right situation and the right portfolio.
Well, to me, oh my goodness, we're just about out of time, Label, but I'm wondering, I'm going to assume, and I should never do that with you, that if someone is interested in one of these products, they should go to an advisor like a Label Sternbach?
They should shop multiple advisors. That's okay. Number one, even if you come to us, right? You shop with multiple advisors because you want to know, one, what's the product that they're going to put you in or the type of products, what's their philosophy, what does it take to get out of it, right? Because not everyone has access to the same products. So that's number one. Number two is, what are the, you know, financial planning services that you get along with it? Like, for instance, with our clients, right, it doesn't matter, you give us $1 or you give us $1 million, right? We're going to give you that same service as being a client, and all of a sudden you get financial planning, tax planning, you know, Roth conversion strategies, all the other stuff that come along for the ride. And so you may say, hey, we want, you know, I got this money, it's in a bank CD, it's maturing, I want something that gives me a little bit more, or I just want, you know, I can't get, my local bank is not giving me good rates anymore, let me go to Label, and you get tax planning along for the ride, right?
There you go. Well, Label, we got to leave it right there. I wish we had more time to talk about all these products. Perhaps we can tee this up again and go deeper into these different types of products that can help our customers. But that's all the time we have for today. If you'd like to purchase some of these products in your account, book a free call with Yields for You and the team there at www.yields4u.com can help you. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. Here are today's words to the wise. You can. You can is a simple yet powerful declaration of potential and possibility. It carries the essence of empowerment, encouraging us to believe in our capabilities and to take on challenges. In two short words, you can, it captures the spirit of determination, resilience, and the endless opportunities that lie ahead. You can also serves as a rallying cry, reminding us that with belief, effort, and perseverance, we can overcome obstacles and achieve remarkable feats. It's an affirmation that unlocks the door to personal growth and the fulfillment of our aspirations. Today's words to the wise, you can.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us right now is Kathy McClear. She is AARP Minnesota State Director. And Kathy, before we get started, how can our audience find out more about all the fine work of AARP Minnesota?
Oh, well, you can always find us at aarp.org/MN. We have all kinds of information about upcoming events, volunteer opportunities, and of course, our advocacy work.
All right. Let's talk about cooking. I understand that AARP is offering a virtual cooking series geared toward plant-based cooking. I think I told you in the green room that I don't recall AARP talking about cooking before today.
Well, Freddie, as you know, we like to offer a variety of ways for people to get connected with one another and connect with AARP. And so this is one of the many virtual opportunities. So you can do this right from the comfort of your own home. And it's a virtual cooking series. And many of the sessions are geared toward plant-based cooking. We know that, you know, maybe you made some New Year's resolutions to eat healthier, and depending on how that's going, you might need a little refresher. And so these are really great opportunities to learn some easy, healthy recipes, save a little money, and explore some plant-based meals to be a little bit healthier.
That's really cool. Now, who will be leading these classes, Kathy?
Yeah, we're so excited that we work with a local chef, Chef Robin Aisbell. She is an author, an educator, and a natural food chef who just really creates some really yummy, feel-good food. And one of the pieces of, you know, cooking, of course, is being, you know, knowing your way around the kitchen, of course, and then being able to have some solid knife skills. You know, whenever you pull up that big chef's knife, I always get a little bit nervous, you know, get my fingers out of the way. And I think that's, you know, one of the things is you're prepping your food, making sure that you have the skills to slice and dice and chop to avoid waste and also keep those fingers safe.
So when is the first virtual cooking class coming up?
Yeah, so we have the knife skills for the home cook on March 12th, and that's from noon to 1:30. Mm-hmm. And again, this is virtual. So you can join from your home, your computer, your smartphone, whatever's convenient for you. We also encourage people to have some of those staples ready. So get some onions, some garlic, some carrots, peppers, chili, sweet potatoes, whatever you like to eat. Have those on hand so you can practice right along with Robin as she shows you how to handle those knives.
We're talking with Kathy McClear, and we're also talking about cooking. Yes, we're talking about cooking, and it's knife skills for the home cook. The first one is March 12th at noon, and this is a part of a series. Can you tell us more about the upcoming classes in addition to this initial one?
Yeah, well, we know that living a longer life means living a healthier life, and we wanted to offer a way that people could, you know, find some easy nutrient-dense meals that can help you live that healthy lifestyle as you age. So in addition to the knife skills class, we have Avocado Mania. Who doesn't love some avocado toast, right? Mm. So we've got that on May 14th. She'll probably tell us how to move beyond avocado toast and guacamole. prebiotics and probiotics, that's coming up in July. Anti-inflammatory, I don't know about you, but I've got some bad knees. And so the anti-inflammatory foods, those are really helpful for me in managing some of my arthritis that I've got. That's in September. And then we know lots of folks are now gluten-free, and so we will have a gluten-free holiday treat event in November.
As you said at the outset, this sounds yummy. How can we register?
You can learn more and register at aarp.org/MN events.
I don't know about you, everyone, but I am hungry. She's Kathy McClear from AARP Minnesota, the state director. And it's time for my song of the week. And it comes from Adele as she's postponing her Las Vegas residency, pushing back the remaining weekends because doctors say that she needs to rest her voice. She debuted Weekends with Adele at the Coliseum Theater at Caesars Palace in November 2022. The last day she's scheduled to perform there is currently June 15th. Last month, Adele announced that she'll be performing a special European residency in Munich, Germany that kicks off on August 2nd. The dates of the postponed shows have not yet been announced, but Adele says she's working out the details, and she'll let fans know as soon as possible. Adele is best known for her mezzo-soprano vocals and sentimental songwriting, and has received numerous accolades, including 16 Grammy Awards, 12 Brit Awards, an Academy Award, a Primetime Emmy Award, and a Golden Globe Award. She's had a number of hit songs, including this one from 2015. It's what she'll say when Adele returns to the stage.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Talk about myself, I'm sorry. I hope that you will. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time. So
that's Adele's Hello, my song of the week. I'm Freddie Bell, and you can follow me on social media, and I invite you to download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app, and let's continue talking about the music. We'll be right back. Thank you for joining me on New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and it happened this week. In 1976, Patty Hearst invoked the Fifth Amendment 19 times at her bank robbery trial in San Francisco. In 1985, William Schroeder became the first artificial heart patient to leave the confines of the hospital. It was in 87 when a controversial anti-smoking television ad appeared for the first time. It featured actor Yul Brynner in a public service announcement that was recorded shortly before his October 1985 death from lung cancer. Brynner warned viewers of the dangers of cigarettes from beyond the grave. In 1995, Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee married actress Pamela Anderson in a ceremony on the beach in Cancun. The couple divorced in 1998. In 2001, Hollywood director Stanley Kramer died at the age of 87. Kramer's numerous film credits include High Noon, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Inherit the Wind, and It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. In 2016, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Harper Lee died at the age of 89. She was best known for her novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, a coming-of-age novel about racism and injustice in the South. In 2019, Bernie Sanders announced his running for president for the second time. In 2021, Kim Kardashian filed for divorce from her husband, Kanye West, after 7 years of marriage. And in 2023, actor Richard Belzer died at the age of 78. He's best known for playing Detective John Munch on both TV series Law & Order Special Victims Unit and Homicide: Life on the Street. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
And so I came up with what meant something to me, 3 sequential steps. Simple, I hope to remember. I hope you will think about them and work with them. It simply goes like this. Step 1, I exist. I exist. To never forget. What it is to recognize that God has given you life in this world. Relationships to form. Experiences to take in. Music to wash over your soul. Religious inspiration to encourage you. Opportunities without limit. But you first have to realize and appreciate. In unity, it was more commonly expressed as, I am. But that means I exist. I've told you the story of Myrtle Fillmore as she walked around Unity headquarters, about 600 on the staff. Can you imagine how many times she was greeted in the hallway? Good morning, Mrs. Fillmore. How are you? Her response, I am. She fully appreciated that. She did not go into the typical response as, well, I'm so-so. I've had better days. I'm not my best. I am. And to me, that's the essence of what I experience, what I hope to convey in this lesson, that first step. Paul expressed it, speaking to the learned, highly cultured Greeks of Athens in Paul's day. They were all discussing different understandings of God, of mythology, of the divine. And Paul said to this diverse crowd, in God you live and move and have your being. For me, that was a more poetic form of my version. Can you imagine? I have the shorter two-word version. Seems pretty strange from me, but just relish it. Your very existence. And then step 2, we talked about last week. I experience. I take in from this world? Things that encourage, that inspire, that uplift, that give me power. And at times, if I choose, I can dwell upon these world experiences in a way that saddens me, discourages me, frustrates me. But it is what it is. Like this week, going through all this commotion around the church, I would rather have had it nice and easy, calm and pleasant, peaceful and sweet, here in my workplace, place of ministry. But it was necessary for this, that everything must change. No one and nothing remains unchanged. For change is what? Life at work. The Holy Spirit, which simply means the whole Spirit and power of God, is at work here, now. If you were like me, and some of you were, raised in my case, the Baptist Church, great emphasis was placed on the God of the past, the God recorded in the Bible, both the Hebrew Testament and the Christian Testament. That God that did great things for those people long ago. And I grew up, I know, I've realized it, with a bias. I remember our minister, a very educated man, asking our young people's group one time, are there still miracles? And I think I was just raising to scratch my ear or something. James, what do you have to say? What about miracles? Oh, I don't think those happen anymore. They happened in the time of Jesus, in the time of the prophets, in the ancient days. Wait a minute. Fortunately, I grew out of that idea. I am a miracle. I felt it throughout my body as I was healed. That the miracle was God working in me here now, not in Egypt, not in Jerusalem. Now, bringing forth my good. My possibility to continue my life, even to bring me to Minnesota so that I could be with you. But I think about that, getting to know you, working with you, I can remember when the doctor said there's a good chance you won't survive. And this would have never happened. So living through that, as many of you have, in challenges, in illness, in so-called disasters and catastrophes, it's not pleasant. No one would say that it was. But everything must change. And there's something, some power, some invisible something that's with you. It always will be. I think of that. We said goodbye to our member of 30 or so years, Cindy Kaler. Now, there was a unique creation. And I mean that with love. She was an extraordinary person, one of the first that reached out to me when I came to this city and said, oh, I've got things you've got to see. And started taking me out in what she loved. said she found God in the beauty of the world, and what I'm calling that second step, I experienced. That's what brought her joy. And she said a phrase that's going to inspire me for a very long time. She said, I'm not so religious. I don't go looking for God. I look for good.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. And it's National No One Eats Alone Day. Lunchrooms across America have accepted the mission started by National No One Eats Alone Day. It's a positive initiative from the nonprofit Beyond Differences aimed at creating a lunchtime of inclusion. Organized by students for students, middle schools across the nation look beyond differences and start to find ways to start conversations at lunchtime with everyone. No one eats alone. That means every student in every lunchroom across the country will be eating with someone else. Students have taken up the charge to see to it that they invite other students to join them. They're making room, and we can do the same thing too. Whether or not we're in the classroom, we can decide today that no one eats alone. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.